God does. He takes what we might think the way things should be, and he flips them on its head. And church membership is a great example of that. The kingdom of God is a great example of that. That we exist. We contribute financially. We contribute with our time, with our care, for the purpose of people who aren't in the kingdom of God. How crazy is that? We gather together, yes, to love each other and support each other, so that the world would know that Jesus is the one that offers hope. We've got this cool word up here. Dave's been awesome. He's able to source these fantastic polystyrene letters for me. And so we're building an alphabet of large letters to try and prompt us to support what we're exploring. Obviously, the word hearing has been up there for some time as we've sought to hear what God is saying to us as a community. This morning, the word together. We gather together. Now, again, whenever we look at something like this, we've got to be really careful that our togetherness does not become the goal. That our togetherness and our love for each other, that it doesn't become our God. It's got to be Christ and Him and His kingdom. And so as I share this morning, I hope you remember that. While I talk a lot about being together and what we do for each other, it's because of Christ that we gather, always. I've got this expression here that I want to use, called deeper in so we can be sent out. Already we have expressions of that when we look at these guys' lives and the way that they engage and the way that they serve. They come and they serve in this place, but they also are in the world. We're not some religious cult where we've set up this little barrier at the front gate and put up fences and sought to keep ourselves so separate from the world. But actually, we come and we seek to access the Spirit of God so that we can go to the world. And to look at this, I want to open the scriptures by looking at Luke chapter 9 and Luke chapter 10 and Acts 1 and 2. This is the craziness of the gospel. I love it. Luke chapter 9 starts with the sending out of the 12. Here is Jesus. He's forming this community. And this community is growing in intimacy. 12 people. And he sends them out. I love that. He sends them out. Here's the passage. I'm going to read it for you. Luke chapter 9, verse 1-6. When Jesus has called the 12 together, he gave them the power and authority to drive out demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. Luke 10. Jesus sends out the 72. After this time, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God is near you. So he begins with 12 and it grows to 72. And then the same message spoken to us. This is Luke. This is Luke's account. Again, in Acts, Luke is speaking. And he describes the church. Luke, Acts chapter 2. Let's go with chapter 1 verse, just verse 8. But you receive power from the Holy Spirit when he comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Been sent. Here we are again. We're empowered. We're brought together to be sent. And then in chapter 2, Luke takes this passage from Joel, and he says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour my spirit out in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders of the heavens above and signs on the earth below. The sun will be turned to darkness and moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I love this. I love how when we gather, there is this fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, written thousands of years ago, where the Holy Spirit is promised to his people. Promised and poured out upon all flesh. And so, what is the purpose of this? What is the outcome of this? What does the church end up looking like? And this is how Luke describes it. In chapter Acts verse 2, Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and onwards. This is what the church gets to look like. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of the people. And the Lord added to their number daily. These are passages that I've been reading now to you pretty much since I've come. I think this is about the third or fourth time I've read this passage. This is what we look like when we gather, when we get to be church. I could have put that up there for you, couldn't I? That's what I've just read. So I want to show that picture again of an upside down kingdom. Because I started with PowerPoint earlier on expressing what people kind of hope for in a church. That somehow it will meet your need. And I want to say that we want to do that. We want to do that. We want to meet every need that you have. But if your hope is in us, we are so going to desperately, desperately disappoint you. For those of you who are able to come to the Parenting Toolbox Seminar this Friday, we got to hear what it looks like for parents to look after their children. And Dave and I sat in the back there, and we were just going, so this is how you should talk to children, and this is why, this is what they're looking for. And we sat there and thought, this is just like adults. In fact, this is just like the church. Church, we have this expectation upon one another that we will do certain things, that we'll talk to each other in certain ways. And we want to learn from this because we need to be treated appropriately. We need to be speaking words of life to one another. But on another level, we have to kind of grow up. Becoming a member, does that somehow mean that, all right, now I get to know the secret meetings, the secret handshakes of being a member? I hate to break it to you, there are no secret meetings. Or if there are, I haven't been told about it. There probably are. They're probably at Monique's house. That's what we typically know. And we've had some wonderful conversations in the staff. We've been talking around people and how perhaps some have felt disenfranchised, not connected. And we thought, well, why is that? Are we not inviting people to our homes enough? And we started counting, well, I've invited them, and you've invited them. And we counted up, and it was like, they should have been invited a lot. And we thought, well, is it perception? Do they somehow think that we meet together, that Lois and I, that's the truth of it. Lois and I, you know, we eat together just about every day, don't we? Yes. Yeah. And you pay all my bills. Actually, this is almost true, actually. This is kind of embarrassing. You pay my bills. We are so interconnected. I know everything that's going on in your life, don't I? No. There is this perception that somehow we are so tight and that you're on the outside. You come here on Sunday and you don't know about the real relationships that are happening throughout the week. This is super depressing news, everybody. But the truth is, we're not all meeting in our homes every day, opening the Word, praying, healing the sick, raising the dead. I would love it if we were. I'm up for that. The raising the dead part, the other parts, I don't know if I want to eat with you every day. But I'm up for it. I'm up for it. What does it look like for us to really be the church? The reality is that most of us are so busy going about our everyday lives that this picture of the church is yet to be attained. Now, I've been talking about others. I think it's really important for you to hear from me. To paraphrase Paul, who said that I am the worst amongst you. You know, I should be opening my home a whole lot more. But actually, I want to go home and I want to have some me time. Some time with just me or my family. Or, as they will probably testify, actually Dad comes home and he chats us for a bit. Then he disappears into a room and sits by himself. I need some me time. Now, I get it that we're all wired different and that we all have our levels of capacity. And I'm not trying to deny that we need our alone time. Christ got his alone time. And but he was purposeful about it, to be with the Father, not to be by himself. God's speaking to me now, again, as he does. What does it look like for us to connect? What would it look like for you after the service to not just hop in your car and to drive home, but to open your home? Oh, but nobody's ever invited me to my home. Sorry, nobody's ever invited me to their home. Have you invited somebody to your home? Monique, this is a little unfair of me. We've been having a conversation. How many years have you been here? Since year 2000. So that's 16 years. How many people have invited you to their home since you've been here? That you can remember. It's like, actually. Yep. So 5 people in the 16 years that she's been here. Probably one of the most connected people in our church has been invited out to dinner by, you know, actually, I don't really know this person. Or they're part of the church, and it's like a greeting, 5 times. I think that's indicative of how we are. Indicative and, on another level, an indictment. That's so unfair of me. But this is the reality. What would it look like for us to be completely countercultural, an upside down kingdom where we open our lives to each other on a far greater level? Luke, who we've been reading all this morning. All this morning's readings have come from the writings of Luke. Christian life, yes, victory. It's all going to be easy and good. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. The cost of following Jesus. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God." You know, I so want our church to be a place where people are loved and welcomed, but I also don't want to set up a way of being that gives people an expectation that our Christian journey is going to be good, to the point of no discomfort. When you become more and more trusting with one another, the opportunity to be hurt and to be offended will increase. The chance for relationships to really be pushed to a space and a place where you would hope somebody would say yes to coming home with you for a meal, and their response is, "Well, actually, I can't." You have to be prepared to risk that. And in this sitting here of following Jesus, there are going to be times where Christ asks us to do things that are going to be really, really hard, and they'll come at a cost. I would love you to risk inviting somebody. Now, this is not the sacrifice and the level of difficulty that Christ is expressing here, but would you? Would you risk ruining the rest of your day? You've made plans. You've made plans. Would you risk that for the person beside you? So I'm going to give you a few minutes. How'd you like to invite the person next to you or the person behind you? Somebody's dying in the background. "Are you kidding, Lyndon? What are you doing? I don't even like this person sitting beside me, and she's my wife." Take a few minutes. Talk to the person next to you. What would it look like for you to mess your day up? Maybe you can't. Maybe you can't. "You know what? I can't invite you today, but I can invite you on Tuesday afternoon at 3 when you're at work and can't get away." Take a few minutes. Talk to the person beside you. Who can you invite to share your life with? Take some time. So was that awkward enough? Yeah, you felt strange? Was it more awkward being asked or asking? Depends who was asking, wasn't it? It's like, I don't want to get in their house. Monique has just asked me to express that as much as she hasn't been invited, she has also not invited. This is the thing, we're not trying to point the finger at any one individual. We're saying this is just the way we live. But I think we're called to something more, right? We're called to something more. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your kingdom that invites us to live in a way that's different. Lord, I thank you for the people that have expressed today, I want to belong to a church that you've called me to. Lord, belonging to a church can sometimes be uncomfortable. But it can also be a place of life, a place of knowing you in new ways, in deeper ways, as we learn from each other just how wonderful you are. God, we thank you for your bride, for your church. We might look at it and think, gosh, she's ugly. But you look at your bride and you just go, wow. And you are besotted with us. Thank you for that love. Amen. How'd the worship team like to come? And we sing a couple of songs. Oh yeah, let's do communion. Glad somebody knows what's going on today. Thanks, Catherine. Would you like a handheld mic?